You are listening to The Current. I'm Jill Riley, and every Wednesday at 8:30, I connect with experts and local personalities for some real talk about keeping our minds and bodies healthy for Wellness Wednesday. And this morning, well, this is about the time of year to talk about this topic. We're going to talk seasonal affective disorder, and I have Dr. Craig Sawchuk, clinical psychologist and co-chair of Mayo Clinic's Division of Integrated Behavioral Health. Good morning, Dr. Craig, Dr. Sawchuk. Can I call you Dr. Craig? I like to be informal around here.
Sure, that totally works for me, Jill.
Okay,
thank you.
Great. Well, I think just starting with, just a definition, I think we've heard of seasonal affective disorder, but what is it?
Right. So we think of seasonal affective disorder as a recurrent mood disorder. And what's unique about seasonal affective disorder is a mood reliably changes during a certain time of the year. And typically when we think of winter depression or the typical seasonal affective disorder, we think of our mood just gradually declining around fall, late fall, early winter months. And then that mood just naturally improving right around late spring, early summer. And really that the changes in our mood really are tied in with the changes in the season rather than other stressors or other things going on.
Well, I mean, how common is this? I mean, it sounds like just about anybody could suffer from it.
Oh, very much so. So we think of, standard winter blues, when we all start to feel a little bit more sluggish and our mood kind of bogs down a little bit, anywhere between 15 to 20% of us report that, but it may not necessarily get in the way of our day-to-day functioning. But for people that experience, the severity and the weight of those symptoms to the point where it does get in the way of their day-to-day functioning, that could be anywhere between 1 to 3% of the population. Now, lucky us, we're in Minnesota, so we're in more of the northern hemisphere, so those rates actually tend to go up. But if you actually travel southward during the winter months, those rates of seasonal depression actually go down.
When does it go beyond standard winter blues? I mean, how do you know if you're suffering from it?
Right. So we think of, one of the unique features of seasonal depression is it's almost like it creates symptoms that we think of like a hibernation type of syndrome. So our mood may start to feel more blah, maybe not necessarily depressed, but a lot more flat, more blah. Then you tend to see that just a lot of fatigue and wanting to sleep more, carbohydrate cravings, loading, weight gain. So we just like really slow down. But it really gets to the point where it becomes a clinical problem is that when it does really start to get in the way of day-to-day activities, so it could lead to work absenteeism, not taking care of things around the home, a lot more social avoidance or withdrawal. So when it really starts to get in the way of our functioning on a day-to-day basis, then that's when it becomes a problem.
Well, I would think that there are some people listening right now that are thinking, ooh, I think that's maybe where I'm going. So what course of action should someone take if, they're kind of relating to what you're saying right now? Or it's like, yeah, this might be going on a little more than standard winter blues, but really kind of full blown that seasonal affective disorder.
Right. So we have really three options. So the first pass is some of these low intensity things that all of us can do and then honestly are helpful to us really at any point in time in our lives. Mm-hmm. But these are more just health behavior changes. So remember, one of the big things about seasonal depression is it tries to get us to slow down and to sleep and hibernate. So we want to make sure that we have a reliable, mornings routine, getting up early, going to bed at the same time every evening. So kind of avoiding the naps, exercise, eating healthy, always helpful for us, and also staying socially connected, which can be a little bit more challenging, these days during the pandemic. But these are like some of these low intensity habit changes that we can make. Even getting outside for a little bit every day can be helpful. If we need to kick it up a notch, then we want to think about using light therapy. And light therapy can be a great intervention. What we encourage people to do is to first off get a light box that's 10,000 lux in intensity. And then we start using it right around that time of year that our mood starts to reliably go down, that we use that light box for about 20 minutes, maybe up to a half hour, within the first hour of waking up in the morning. So that's really important that we actually start to use it right at the start of the day. You want to keep that light box about an arm's length away from you. You want to keep your eyes open. You don't have to stare at the light, but keep your eyes open and doing other things. And keep using that actually throughout the entire winter until the time where your mood starts to reliably improve. So again, maybe in that spring, summertime. So that's kind of that next level. Light boxes are really well tolerated as well too. So that's a great low intensity intervention. The third option is if we need to step it up from there, that's where I would encourage people to speak with their primary care provider, family medicine provider, and consider additional treatment options. A couple of treatment options that can also be helpful is one, referring to a counselor or a therapist who has expertise in cognitive behavioral therapy. This is a skill building approach that can really help people work on changing behaviors and working on their thinking that can help them actually reduce those symptoms of seasonal depression. And then another potential option is being prescribed an antidepressant medication, mm-hmm. and that can actually be helpful for folks as well.
Dr. Sawchuk, does vitamin D play into any of this? Because I remember talking with my primary care physician and having like my vitamin D level checked, and it was way low.
Yeah, welcome to the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
So we do know that vitamin D gets depleted among folks with lower light exposure. And that's, again, what happens this time of year. Interestingly enough, when we've actually looked at trials of vitamin D supplementation, we actually usually don't see that has clinically significant effects on treating seasonal depression.
Okay.
It's one of those types of interventions that falls in that potentially that wellness category. It probably doesn't hurt to give it a try because mm-hmm. vitamin D is also influences other systems in our body. But I think for people that are experiencing clinically significant symptoms, we don't just want to hang our hat on a vitamin D supplement. That could be part of a larger package, and especially a larger package of health behavior changes and then even light box therapy that we know are more evidence-based.
All right, well, that's good to know. I'm on the line with Dr. Craig Sawchuk, and we're talking about seasonal affective disorder. You know, so it sounds like some of those self-care habits are important, you know, the exercise, the nutrition, you know, even vitamins. And then, you know, at first when you said light therapy, I thought, oh, a little light therapy, but actual light therapy. But then, you know, a little light therapy after that, maybe another way to intervene. So, Dr. Craig, I wonder, you know, as we wrap up here talking about seasonal affective disorder, also known as SAD, because of course it is there anything else people, you know, should be watching out for? Because we're at that time of year where we're heading into those cold winter weeks here in Minnesota.
Exactly. So as we get into the colder winter weeks, it gets harder sometimes to justify getting outside. So it's normal for most of us to kind of stay indoors. But we're all going to hope for a milder winter because we know that actually being able to get outside, say on a cloudy day, you know, the light intensity is around 3,000 lux. If it's actually a clear blue sky day where the sun is coming down but it's really cold outside, that's actually 50,000 lux. So even being able to get outside on those really cold days, even if it's just for a little bit of time and maybe puttering around in your yard, that would be great. But I think it's like really, really important that we get up and get going first thing in the morning. You know, have that normal routine, watch out that urge to sleep in, get those lights on, get a shower, get dressed. All of these behaviors that signal to the brain, oh, it's time to wake up and get going. So even just turning on the lights and opening up the blinds can be helpful. But look at all those other behaviors that are part of our normal wake-up routine will actually be very helpful with helping to wake up the brain and get going first thing in the morning.
And Dr. Craig, you mentioned, you know, connection, and that is difficult during this time with the global pandemic. But I would think that isolation would just kind of amplify some of this stuff.
I think if anything, you know, that's what the start of the pandemic, and we're still in it right now, is learning how to be creative with that. And that is a huge thing because this is actually a way that we go about treating seasonal depression. And depression in general is really fostering social connections and making sure that we have like a routine and goals and set up for social accountability in order to treat the pandemic, you know, we're really strongly encouraging people to not congregate and to appropriately socially distance. So doing this virtually remains extremely important. And I think that this is where we are seeing rates, at least clinically, of more people coming in with seasonal depression complaints. And part of it is that folks that maybe have been operating in a deficit, you know, heading in from what they've been dealing with the pandemic, that we've been in probably a lower gear physically, or maybe our eating habits have been thrown off. A lot of our normal daily rhythms and routines, such as going into work, a lot of those have been disrupted well before the season changes have occurred. So we've been in probably a little bit more of a deficit mode. So that may be leading to some amplification in some of the cases that we're seeing at this juncture.
Well, you're listening to Wellness Wednesday here on the Currents Morning Show. On the subject of seasonal affective disorder, I've been talking with Dr. Craig Sawchuk, clinical psychologist and co-chair of Mayo Clinic's Division of Integrated Behavioral Health. Well, Dr. Craig, I appreciate your time this morning and some of those tips you're offering and some things to watch out for as, you know, we head into these cold months here in Minnesota.
Great. Thank you for having me.